Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net on YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter or X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 20th of July, 2024, and the title of today's show is Trump Assassination Attempt, Republicans Unite, Democrats Implode, CrowdStrike outage. Well, what a week. So much has happened this week, and I do believe we've reached a tipping point in this spiritual war and the battle against, or the war against, the deep state and the satanic controllers of the world, soon to be ex-controllers, I believe. And I'm sure most of you have already seen lots about the assassination attempt on Donald Trump at the rally in Philadelphia. But I'm going to cover quite a few things related to this that are not in the mainstream, as usual. Some of them on X and some on Substacks, and also Ben Fulford's take on this. I'll try and get it into a sensible order, but there's been so much information to go through. Please forgive me if some of it's out of sync, as it were. So starting with Ben Fulford, I'm only going to read this little section here. He says it is clear the assassination attempt on Trump was staged to get public opinion to support the arrest of Trump opponents. Here are the signs. First of all, before the event, Biden said it is time to put Trump in a bullseye. Then recall this tweet put out by Alex Soros, widely interpreted as offering money for the assassination of Trump. And it's a screenshot from the Gateway Pundit. Alex Soros tweets out bullet hole and 47, as in $47 in the image, obviously referring to Trump, I think, as the 47th president of the United States, a direct violent threat to Donald Trump. In addition to this, many political commentators like Rick Wilson on MSNBC called for someone to, quote, put a bullet in Donald Trump, end quote. Since the would-be assassin was a member of Antifa who appeared in Rockefeller-controlled BlackRock commercials, it is likely there was a genuine plot by the Khazarian mafia to kill Trump. So the likely scenario is the White Hats let the Rockefeller group proceed with this attempt in order to give them enough rope to hang themselves with. The fact Secret Service snipers were told to stand down even after many people spotted the would-be assassin also indicates the event was orchestrated. My name is Jonathan Willis. I'm the officer in the famous photo of the two snipers on the roof at Trump's rally. I came here to inform the public that I had the assassin in my sights for at least 3 minutes, but the head of the Secret Service refused to give the order to take out the perp. 100% the top brass prevented me from killing the assassin before he took the shots at President Trump. I just want to add something at this point, and that was I saw something on X to say that the Secret Service or law enforcement had denied that they had a Jonathan Willis in their employment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. He ends this segment by saying, my overall impression is this event was typical of the KM. I just want to add a quick disclaimer here that some of what I'm reporting on is opinion, but there are a lot of people in the truth movement who have reported on this with actual receipts, as they say. So this next one is, it's on Julie Kelly's Declassified Substack. This particular article is by Hayley McLean. Influence, Negligence and Cover-ups, Cheadle's Leadership and the Near-Fatal Consequences for Trump. Ongoing concerns about a pattern of mishaps, misconduct and cover-ups within the United States Secret Service, particularly under the leadership of Director Kimberly Cheadle, face renewed and urgent scrutiny. Cheadle, who worked on Jill Biden's security detail when Joe Biden was vice president and also worked on former Vice President Dick Cheney's detail in the early 2000s, was appointed head of the agency in August 2022. Thomas Matthew Crooks, armed with an AR-style rifle, managed to scale a building and access its roof, which offered a direct sightline to former President Donald Trump, speaking less than 150 yards away at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, on July 13th. It was by chance that Trump, deviating from his teleprompter, turned his head to look at a chart displayed for the crowd at the exact moment a bullet grazed his ear instead of piercing his skull. No thanks can be given to the failed security preparations under Cheadle's leadership, as the country breathed a collective sigh of relief upon learning the former president and now leading presidential candidate was safe. Cheadle's extreme negligence placed Trump's life and the stability of the nation in jeopardy. Sloped roofs now too dangerous for Secret Service. A security operations plan had positioned three counter-snipers from Beaver County's Emergency Service Unit team inside the same building to monitor the rally from windows, with none stationed on its roof, as reported by Beaver Countyan. Additionally, two sources familiar with the agency's operations disclosed to NBC News that this site was identified by the Secret Service as a potential vulnerability days before the event, with the agency fully aware of the associated risks. In an interview with ABC News, Cheadle seemed to downplay the recklessness of the decision not to place any snipers on the roof used by the shooter, leaving vulnerable the closest elevated point just outside of the inner secured perimeter of the rally, with a clear line of sight to where Trump would take the stage. She cited the building's sloped roof as a safety factor that supposedly made it risky to position personnel there, never mind the serious risk to life of a former president who is also the leading presidential candidate during a particularly tumultuous election cycle. Cheadle also seemed to shift blame to local law enforcement, saying that local authorities were tasked with securing the building from where the shots were fired. There was local police in that building. There was local police in the area responsible for the outer perimeter of the building, she stated. However, NBC News reported that Butler County District Attorney Richard Goldinger asserted that the Secret Service was in charge of security outside the venue. They had meetings the week prior. The Secret Service ran the show. They designated who did what, Goldinger explained. In the command hierarchy, they were top. They were number one. I must say, people have been having great fun with this slopey roof claim, given that the other roofs around had a greater slope than this one, and they had people stationed on those. So, a very lame excuse. Now we have the timeline. A timeline compiled from reports by Beaver Countyan and WXPI Channel 11 reveals multiple warnings about crooks that were seemingly ignored or inadequately addressed. A law enforcement officer from Beaver County's ESU team had seen crooks on the ground prior to 5:45 p.m., nearly 30 minutes before shots were fired at 6:11 p.m., and called him in as a suspicious person with a picture. Sergeant Gregory Nickel, one of the three municipal counter-snipers stationed inside the building, saw the guy, Crooks, looking up at the roof of the building he was stationed in, like scoping it out, and took a picture of him that he sent to command as a be on the lookout, a source within law enforcement said. An officer checked the grounds for Crooks at that point, but did not see him where the first picture was taken. Sergeant Nickel then saw Crooks return to the building, this time carrying a backpack. More warnings were issued to command. Crooks sat down and began looking at his phone. Trump was running about an hour late. Nickel saw Crooks take out a rangefinder to gauge distance from the building to where Trump was going to be speaking. He again notified command about what he was seeing. An officer noticed a suspicious man on a roof near the rally at 5:45 p.m., called it in and took a picture of the person. It's not clear if Crooks had a gun with him at that point. 26 minutes after the second picture of Crooks was taken by law enforcement around 5:45 p.m. and the information called in, shots were fired from the roof of the American Glass Research Building. It's unclear whether Sergeant Nickel, named in the Beaver County report, is the same officer described in WXPI's report. A very short period of time. Responding to reports that Crooks was seen and identified as potentially suspicious before he opened fire, Cheadle told ABC News that only a very short period of time passed between then and the shooting. Seeking that person out, finding them, identifying them, and eventually neutralizing them took place in a very short period of time, she said, and it makes it very difficult. It's unclear if the very short period of time referenced by Cheadle includes the nearly 30 minutes at least of multiple warnings about Crooks, complete with photos taken of him that were relayed to the command center, warnings issued by law enforcement stationed inside the building under the direction of the Secret Service. Is it the agency's position that nearly 30 minutes is such a rapid succession of time that the United States Secret Service cannot reasonably be expected to prevent a 20-year-old would-be assassin armed with an AR-style rifle from scaling a building, accessing a roof explicitly left vulnerable under their instruction, and firing at the former president from less than 150 yards away with a clear line of sight to the stage? According to reporting by the New York Times, a Secret Service spokesman acknowledged that local police officers radioed agents about a suspicious person on Saturday before Trump went on stage. Were these the same agents in the command center notified by Sergeant Nickel as early as at least 5:45 p.m. that day, nearly 30 minutes before shots were fired? If so, was this crucial information relayed to Trump's security detail on the ground? If not, why not? And if it was communicated, why was Trump allowed to take the stage? Cheadle's explanation for this massive failure focuses on the building's sloped roof and a claimed lack of sufficient time, nearly 30 minutes, to act on the incoming tips well before Trump even took the stage. Cheadle's downplaying these significant lapses in security does little to mitigate her pattern of what appears to be at best negligent and dangerously inadequate leadership. Now, following the attempted assassination of President Trump, Cheadle's attempts to shift blame and minimize her agency's responsibility underscore serious concerns about her competence and integrity, demonstrating at best extreme negligence and at worst a deliberate disregard for the safety of the nation's leaders. The number of lawmakers calling for Cheadle's resignation continues to mount after she held a telephone briefing for senators on the security failures. Susan Crabtree of Real Clear Politics reported that during the call, senators learned that law enforcement had flagged Crooks for suspicious behavior more than an hour before he fired shots at Trump, and that counter-snipers had spotted Crooks 20 minutes before the shots rang out. Senators also discovered that the Secret Service was aware of a potential threat 10 minutes before Trump took the stage in Pennsylvania, but allowed him to go out anyway. And just to add something to this, I'm not going to read the rest of the article, but the usual Secret Service team that Trump has had for, well, years, I believe, was removed from him and allocated to Jill Biden. She had coincidentally arranged to make an appearance in Pennsylvania the same day. The other thing is that the team that was assigned to Trump was made up of women who had very little experience. There were some men there, but women who were too short to create a physical barrier between Trump and a bullet, and one of them couldn't even holster her weapon without four attempts. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, and thank God Trump had the hand of God on him and he survived it. It's a miracle, really. Incidentally, Kim Cheetle has also got close ties to the Cheneys and the Bidens and was responsible for the January 6th tech scandal. Now, I understand the FBI, within a very, very short time after this, declared that the gunman, Crooks, was a lone shooter, even while they were saying that they couldn't get access to his phone, which is a ridiculous excuse given that they use phone records for people's whereabouts all the time, especially January 6s. So here we have that theory debunked already. Forbidden News on Substack reports audio forensics confirms at least three separate weapons were fired in assassination attempt. Former SAIC executive Dr. Chris Martinson explains, audio forensics confirms at least three separate weapons were fired in assassination attempt. The first three shots are consistent in sound and distance, bullet echo report. The next group of five shots are clearly from different weapons. The sixth shot even sounds different. The last shot is reportedly the sniper who took Crooks out. CNN oddly confirms audio forensics suggest as many as three weapons fired at Trump rally. Forensic analysts suggest that as many as three weapons were fired at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday. The first three shots were consistent with alleged weapon A, the next five were consistent with alleged weapon B, and the final acoustic impulse was emitted by a possible weapon C. The article then has the full transcript of the interview where he goes into more technical detail about it, but I'm not going to cover that because we have other interesting coincidences to cover. Slate News reports building used by Trump shooter owned by BlackRock, managed by ex-Pfizer executives. In a disturbing new twist regarding the attempted assassination of President Donald Trump, a bombshell report has revealed that the building used by the shooter is owned by World Economic Forum board member Larry Fink's investment company BlackRock. Further, the building is managed by former executives of pharmaceutical giant Pfizer. During Trump's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania last Saturday, a gunman was able to scale the roof of the building unchallenged by police or Secret Service and take clear shots at the 45th president. The building that the sniper was on is part of a complex that also included other snipers working for federal authorities who have not yet been disclosed. The complex is owned by a company called American Glass Research. The building is at 615 Whitestown Road in Butler. Pennsylvania State Police is currently guarding the location. And now on to the next coincidence. BlackRock and related firms are accused of various financial transactions that were suspicious times around the assassination attempt. Those transactions included shorting Trump-related stocks and standing to profit trillions of dollars from the transactions. as Slay News reported, trading activity spiked over 800% on the day before Trump was shot. The trading activity has left many questioning why traders believe Trump's company shares were about to tank. Now, I'm going to cover a little bit more on the subject of the stock trading. But before I do that, there's also a screenshot of a tweet by Laura Loomer, who is a really good investigative reporter. Conservative journalist and activist Laura Loomer also announced a deep dive into American Glass Research and its executives. Loomer reports that the company's executives have ties to top Democrats, including Barack Obama. Exclusive new report, alarming new details around the building used by the shooter to almost assassinate President Trump. Why is the company that owns the building not talking, and why have they not released a statement? AGR International, the building Thomas Matthew Crook shot from, was just sold in March to a Clayton Dubilier and Rice CDR build subsidiary called Indicor. It's worth noting that Joseph L. Rice III is the founder of Clayton Dubilier and Rice. Rice is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and he's also a member of the Brookings Institution, the same Brookings Institute that has perpetuated lawfare campaigns against President Trump in an effort to keep him off the ballot for the 2024 presidential election. It's important for people to understand how the deep state has a history of using proprietary companies as cutouts. According to filings and their own press releases, Indicor was officially formed in January 2023 by CDNR, who just partnered with John Celeb. Prior to joining CDNR, John Celeb was a senior vice president of global policy and public affairs at Pfizer, a position he remained in until 2022. As the senior VP of global policy and public affairs for Pfizer, Celeb was a max donor to Joe Biden's campaign when he ran against President Trump. And she goes on with a lot of other people that are obviously anti-Trump connected to that building. The plot thickens. Now back to the stock trading story. This is modernity.news. Investment firm denies shorting Trump media stock day before assassination attempt. Asserts filing was a clerical error. Investment firm Austin Private Wealth LLC has denied claims that it placed a massive put option on Trump Media and Technology Group stock the day before the assassination attempt, asserting that the filing was a clerical error. In stock market terms, a put option is basically a bet that the asset's price will fall, which would have almost certainly occurred if Trump had been killed. As writer and researcher Josh Walkos highlighted, it appeared as though the firm had shorted 12 million shares of DJT stock via a put option. The filing date is July 12th, the day before the assassination attempt. They have around $1 billion in assets under management, and this is by far the largest put placed, wrote Walkos. A Bloomberg terminal screenshot showed that the contract subsequently disappeared from the record. To make things even more interesting, my source tipped me off with the following two images from their Bloomberg terminal. The screenshot on the left shows the put by Austin Private Wealth LLC that was taken earlier this morning. It shows the 120,000 puts. Their position is by far the largest. The next closest is Citadel Advisors with 16,770. Here is where it gets interesting. Screenshot to the right was taken later in the day and poof, Austin Private Wealth LLC is nowhere to be found. Why? The company then amended their filing records on July 16th and the put option was removed. Jason Goodman, he's on X as Crowdsource the Truth. I think I've got more from him later. He called AJ Wagner, a partner in the firm, to ask him about the controversy, noting that it was a remarkable coincidence. Wagner asserted that the explanation was a clerical error in the filing and said the company would be issuing a statement. Austin Private Wealth then issued the following statement yesterday. Statement on incorrect filing with the SEC. The SEC filing, which showed that Austin Private Wealth shorted a large number of shares of Trump Media and Technology Group Corp., DJT, was incorrect, and we immediately amended it as soon as we learned of the error. I'll spare you the rest of the excuses, but the last thing that was said in the article is, in the 5 days following the failed assassination attempt, shares in Trump Media and Technology Group Corp. have risen by 25%. So as usual, Trump comes out winning. Hilarious. So despite the claims that it was a clerical error, who on earth would believe that? It seems the logical conclusion is they knew about the planned assassination before it happened. Otherwise, why would they bet so much on the drop in value of Trump's company shares, from which they would stand to gain millions of dollars? Now I'm going to cover some of the tweets or the X posts, because, you know, the truthers have been digging and they've uncovered a lot of discrepancies and strange goings on relating to the attempted assassination. Into thin air posts, more massive holes in Secret Service explanation of events. The Secret Service claims that the sniper team was set up in the building the shooter was on, yet make the mistake of saying the second-story window. The problem here is the building the apparent shooter was on does not have a second story. The building behind it does, which has a clear line of sight to the roof of the one-story building. If a sniper team was on the second story, they had a clear line of sight to the shooter the whole time on the roof. If the sniper team was in the single-story building, they would have seen everyone running and pointing as they were right in front of the windows. Here's another coincidence. Brian Cates posts on X. Out of all the rallies Trump held in the last year, CNN decided to carry exactly one of them live, Saturday, July 13th, 2024, in Butler, Pennsylvania. Interestingly enough, as the shooter, whoever that was, began firing, a New York Times photographer was in prime position to catch Trump's head exploding with a camera set to the unusual setting of 1/8,030 FPS. I'm not sure what that means, but it's obviously to do with the exposure or something, or the speed of the shutter, which you would only use if you expected to be shooting something happening in a millisecond. Turns out you can actually see a bullet in flight at those settings. Isn't that amazing? And AG on X, investigate CNN immediately. How many Trump rallies has CNN live streamed? Grok replies, and that's the AI. CNN has only live streamed one Trump rally this year, and wouldn't you know it, it happened to be on July 13th. Coincidence? I think not. Crowdsource the truth posts. Here is another extremely interesting detail that has just been brought to my attention. How is the dead guy so far away from the rifle? The kill shot looks like instant death. Shouldn't the gun be closer to him? And what is that thing behind him? And the post includes a photo of the roof of the building that was supposedly where the shooter was, showing the distance between his body and the rifle or the weapon. And it looks like it's at least 6 feet away from him. This is not an X post, but it's an article related to the dead shooter. And it was Gateway Pundit that reported this. There should be a lot of blood, photos, and ER trauma surgeon claims Trump rally sniper body is missing massive blood sprays. Dr. Molly James is an intensive care unit and emergency room trauma surgeon who practices in multiple states. She has extensive experience in dealing with the aftermath of gunshots and treating gunshot victims. Dr. James says the few pictures that have emerged from the rally scene don't make sense. There should be a lot of blood, and there aren't in these pictures, said Dr. James. Dr. James says that the pictures of what federal authorities claim is the body of Thomas Crooks on top of the American Glass Research Building in Butler, Pennsylvania, from where Crooks is alleged to have taken shots at President Trump, is missing a large blood spray behind the body that would be typical. There should be a considerable amount of blood. It depends on the exact trajectory through the head and also a few other factors. But behind the body should be a significant amount of blood, brain, hair, skull fragments, and even vertebrae, Dr. James said. In comparing the picture from a drone of the whole roof with the picture provided by federal authorities of the body up close, Dr. James notices several irregularities in how the blood has dried on the face. Blood follows gravity, so if the entry point is behind the head, it won't be going against gravity. It looks to me as though the body has been moved. Other drone footage of what federal authorities claims is Thomas Crooks on the roof of the AGR building in Butler, Pennsylvania, reveals some small amount of what looks like blood, but not the significant sum that Dr. James claims should be present. The day after the shooting, the FBI was on the roof washing it all down. Looks like they didn't want anybody to see the evidence. And Kyle Becker posts, Biden's Secret Service has denied an FOIA request by America First Legal following the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. The Secret Service claims there is no urgency and denies the American public has a right to know. The Trump assassination cover-up continues. Now, here's a completely different take on it. And I must say, when it all happened, I was kind of getting some intuitive thoughts that perhaps the White Hats had set this up. It was just the way the thing played out that seemed very odd, really. And MAGA Mike on X has a theory about this. Now, you can take it or leave it, but I just thought I'd share this other perspective on it. He starts this long thread talking about the psyops, you know, we're in a psychological warfare, and about the mainstream media and how they lie to us all, and, you know, how many people still believe the press. So the part that's relevant starts with, so am I to believe the Secret Service was simply that negligent or compromised? Would Trump put his life, family's life, and our movement's safety in the hands of incompetent and corrupt Secret Service agents? Doesn't make sense to me. Trump has held over 600 rallies around the country since 2016. 30-plus car motorcade, hundreds of local police, SWAT, and vets at every rally. Snipers on every roof, metal detectors at every entrance. Would this be the best way to assassinate Trump if you actually wanted him dead? Could a radical left lunatic outsmart the Secret Service? Is this the best the deep state had? Why not a deadly drone? Why is Trump not bashing the US Secret Service for their negligence and him almost being killed? Unless, of course, they wanted it to happen. Trump knows the way the fake news operates. They do zero journalism, zero investigative reporting, zero fact-checking. Reporters will read the script they are given to the American public without verifying any of its contents. They will bring on experts and eyewitnesses to legitimize their story, misinforming millions of Americans without facing any accountability. Why not take advantage of their own negligence? I believe Trump and the Patriots are going to expose the fake news mafia and their negligent reporting with an incident they controlled and staged themselves. I believe this for three reasons. One, instead of waiting for the deep state to attempt a shooting themselves, they beat them to the punch and control all the moving pieces. The shooting reminds the world what the left does to its political opponents when they can't stop them with smear campaigns, hoaxes, indictments, impeachments, etc. Three, it reveals how gullible the public is and how quickly they will believe any story told to them by mainstream media outlets. How could this be done, you ask? Easily. stage a rally with a few hundred crisis actors of our own. Fire blank bullets, fake blood, and voila. Next, feed inaccurate information to the media, allow them to publish it, and catch them in the act, spreading unverified lies to the American people. I think everything we have been watching on the news since 2021 has been planted lies which will boomerang and destroy the liars in the media, letting them hang themselves once and for all. This is much bigger than another four-year election. This is about saving America. He also shares a screenshot of several cue drops. Sometimes you can't tell the public the truth. You must show them it's time to wake up. Cue. Coincidence? Everything shown has meaning. You are watching a scripted movie. Cue. What makes a movie good? Great actors. Cue. Sometimes you can't tell the public the truth. You must show them. Only then will people find the will to change. So, interestingly, there are various other things that have been happening recently which link to cue drops. I'll be covering that in the next part of the show. So just to conclude that, as I say, it's another opinion. I still haven't reached any definite conclusions about it, but as I say, I did kind of intuitively feel that that might be a possibility. But, you know, you use your own discernment, take what you want and leave the rest. So I'm going to now move on to what's been going on in the Republican and Democrat parties. This week, it was the RNC, which, of course, had an amazing atmosphere to it. Everybody absolutely 100%, 1,000% behind Trump, particularly after that failed assassination attempt. And Trump actually told the story about, you know, his experience being shot at. And I know there were pretty good speeches from Tucker Carlson, Vivek Ramaswamy. I didn't manage to see a great deal of it, but what I did find was a very interesting article. And this is from American Media Group. I've shared a couple of things from them before, but they can be a little bit sensationalist, so I'm a bit wary. But this particular one, I think, is accurate without question, to be honest. And there was actually a TikTok video by a guy basically saying the same thing that is said in this article. So this title is Boom, and the O's are replaced by Q's. Warning, Trump just sent a message to the deep state, a coded message in the song Nessun Dorma, the sum of all fears. Trump's ultimatum to the deep state, the countdown to justice begins. In an electrifying display that left the nation reeling, President Donald Trump delivered a powerful message to the deep state, a message laden with ominous undertones and a call for action. As if orchestrated by a maestro of political theatre, an opera singer took the stage immediately after Trump's speech, filling the room with the haunting strains of Nessun Dorma. This was no mere coincidence. For those attuned to the hidden messages and codes, the implications were chilling and unmistakable. Nessun Dorma, the aria of retribution. Nessun Dorma is far more than a beautiful piece of music. It is an anthem of defiance, a harbinger of inevitable justice. Famously played at the climax of the Sum of All Fears, this aria underscores themes of betrayal, exposure, and ultimate retribution. In the film, traitors within the government are unmasked and brought to justice, a scenario strikingly parallel to the current political undercurrents. The recurring references to the sum of all fears in the cue drops only amplify this connection, hinting at a forthcoming purge of the deep state. Trump's strategic masterstroke. President Trump's decision to play Nessun Dorma was a calculated move, a masterstroke of symbolism and strategy. Trump, known for his meticulous and deliberate choices, used this powerful aria to send a resounding message. He is not one to choose his music lightly. Every note, every lyric carries weight and purpose. By selecting Nessun Dorma, Trump signaled a clear and present warning to his enemies. The time for reckoning is nigh. The cue drops, decoding the warning. The cue drops, a series of enigmatic messages from the mysterious cue, have frequently referenced the sum of all fears. These drops have long hinted at a grand unveiling, a moment when the clandestine machinations of the deep state would be exposed. The choice of Nessun Dorma links Trump's actions directly to these prophecies, suggesting that the day of judgment for these hidden forces is approaching rapidly. An atmosphere of tension and anticipation. The moment was electrifying. As Trump concluded his speech, the atmosphere crackled with tension. The room fell into hushed anticipation as the lights dimmed and the first powerful notes of Nessun Dorma filled the air. The opera singer's voice rose, echoing through the hall and leaving the audience spellbound. For those who grasped the significance, it was a declaration of war against the deep state, a signal that their days of operating in the shadows were numbered. The power of symbolic gestures. Trump's use of symbolism is a potent weapon in his political arsenal. His actions, speeches, and even his choice of music are meticulously chosen to convey deeper messages. The selection of Nessun Dorma is a prime example of this strategic use of symbolism. It resonates with a narrative of hidden battles and imminent justice, galvanizing his supporters and unnerving his foes. The article then goes into great detail about the deep state, but I think we know all about that already. The final act, A Nation on Edge. As the final notes of Nessun Dorma faded into silence, the gravity of the moment was undeniable. Trump had thrown down the gauntlet, not just to the deep state, but to the entire nation. He was declaring that the time for revelation and retribution had arrived. For his supporters, it was a clarion call, a rallying cry in the ongoing battle against unseen forces. For his adversaries, it was a dire warning that their time in the shadows was coming to an end. This dramatic and aggressive moment, steeped in symbolism and charged with intensity, will be etched in the annals of Trump's presidency. Whether seen as a bold declaration of truth or a calculated political maneuver, the impact of Trump's ultimatum to the deep state is undeniable. The stage is set, the players are ready, and the final act of this high-stakes drama is about to unfold. So as the Republican Party, and especially the MAGA part of the party, has become stronger and stronger and more united, the Democrat Party is absolutely imploding. And again, on Declassified, this is Julie Kelly's Substack, she's written an article titled Karma Bitches. The most powerful American institutions colluded in 2020 to steal the election for Joe Biden. Now those same interests are collaborating to get him off the 2024 ballot. Sit back and enjoy. This was published on the 18th. Let's savour just a few of the delicious ironies right now, shall we? The man installed in the White House thanks to illegal voting using COVID as an excuse now has COVID. The same man who is primarily responsible for perpetuating the January 6th insurrection narrative is now the target of an intra-party coup. The same Democratic Party deviants who colluded behind the scenes to destroy Donald Trump's chances of re-election in 2020 are privately and publicly begging their own deviant leader not to destroy the party's chances to keep the White House and Senate and regain the House of Representatives. The same major news organizations involved in a shadow campaign to put Biden in the White House are conducting their own not-so-shadow campaign to take Biden off the presidential ballot. A never-Trump Republican who converted to MAGA doctrine over the past few years is Donald Trump's running mate, representing another lethal blow to neocon establishment Republicanism that neocon establishment Republicans thought would take over the GOP after 2020. Speaking of the wife of one of Never Trump's most unhinged figures, one who has regularly accused Trump of being a foreign asset for the better part of a decade, was just arrested for being a foreign asset. The new owner of the social media platform that in 2020 worked with the FBI and other big tech titans to silence criticism of early and absentee voting, as well as the content of Hunter Biden's laptop, is now trolling Biden and Democrats on the site formerly known as Twitter, while pledging to spend $45 million a month until Election Day to play by the Democrats' rules related to early and absentee voting. And the man nearly everyone had written off as politically dead after the events of January 6th is ascendant and headed for a landslide victory after surviving a near-death experience on July 13th. That's called karma, bitches. I find this hilarious. The article goes on a lot longer, but I don't have time to go through that. But basically, there are more and more senators and House representatives on the Democrat side who are now calling for Biden to step down as the nominee for the November election. Bioclandestine on Substack also has an opinion on this. The Democrat Party faces extinction. If Trump wins and is able to prevent World War III, as he claims, that means the Dems just waged an 8+ year war on the guy who ended up bringing world peace. There's no coming back from that. I think we're watching a massive restructure of US politics. If Trump wins convincingly, he will have majorities in both chambers with his already existing majority in the Supreme Court. He would then have the power to fully implement the MAGA agenda, and most importantly, he actually has the public support he did not have last time. Combine this with Elon's takeover of Twitter and the decentralization of media, all the pieces are in place for Trump to have success without the MSM brainwashing the public to think he is a Russian asset. Trump will control all three branches of government. He will have massive public support, unlimited political ammunition, and the MSM have been largely neutralized. The stars are aligning. The last item on today's agenda is the CrowdStrike outage. And I follow Coffee and COVID on Substack, and he tends to put quite an amusing twist on things in the way he reports. And this article, or section of his article, is no exception. Prepare to don your tinfoil caps in astonishment. You probably thought the week had already delivered its full payload and couldn't possibly get any more interesting. But another shipment has unexpectedly arrived. You ask, how could 2024 in a single week beat the miraculous physical and political comeback of Donald J. Trump and the historic civil war tearing apart the Democrat Party? Haha, amateurs, there's lots more. Let us begin with the news of how most of the world's computers became useless blue screen bricks overnight. I didn't notice right away, I use Mac. Bloomberg yesterday, how a routine CrowdStrike update crashed the world's computers. A tiny file ricocheted around the globe, exposing the global IT network's fragility and the risks of industry consolidation. The sinking of the world's computers was just the icy tip of the conspiracy theory iceberg. Wait till you get a load of this. But first, let's get up to speed on yesterday's developments. As it happens, this time I am a software expert. I put myself through college writing custom software, a lucrative pastime I started when I was 12, greatly annoying my parents, who wished I would get outside more and quit asking for nerdy computer gear. It is true that now I'm a lawyer, it's been a while since I coded anything, but I still know my way around the premises. Google whistleblower and senior developer Zach Voorhees yesterday posted the CrowdStrike crash error log, which can be easily found in internal computer files if you know where to look. And then Zach diagnosed the error, which appears to be the most basic kind of C++ programming mistake, something like lazily leaving a metal fork on the plate when you slide it into the microwave. The gist was that the error pushed by the so-called global IT security company, bringing down the world's critical infrastructure, was so basic that it tends to suggest either grotesque DEI levels of incompetence or intentionality. With that in mind, now consider the following timeline. On July 25th, 2019, 2 years into Trump's presidency, and almost 5 years ago to the day, President Trump held his fateful call with Ukraine's not-so-funny President Zelensky. The call is best known for Trump's request for Zelensky to investigate the Biden crime family's crooked business in that corrupt country, which caused the deep state to freak out and kick off the historic impeachment lawfare. But that wasn't all. Behold, yesterday's Economic Times headline already connecting the dots. Why did Trump bring up CrowdStrike in his 2019 call with Ukraine's Zelensky? That's right. Trump not only asked Zelensky about Biden's business in Ukraine, but he also asked about CrowdStrike's secret file servers, which were located there, secured from meddling US law enforcement. In a nutshell, what this is about is that CrowdStrike is actually owned by a Ukrainian. And in the conversation with Zelensky, Trump was referencing the DNC server, which apparently was given to CrowdStrike. And of course, you know, the DNC server was what was claimed to be hacked into, but it turned out that it was really Seth Rich. That was revealed by WikiLeaks. So anyway, carrying on with this, yesterday, one day after Trump officially became the Republican Party's presidential nominee, and the same day that CrowdStrike copped up the world, President Trump and martial law administrator Zelensky enjoyed a widely publicized but private phone call. From this morning's Kiev Post, Trump pledges to end the war after Zelensky phone call. Let's be honest, the Kiev Post is the official organ of the Ukrainian government. There was no record of the call's contents, but the article reported that Zelensky was very kind to President Trump, congratulating him on his nomination and expressing sympathy for his near-death experience, and then reported the former comedian was suddenly and unexpectedly ready to work with President Trump. Zelensky said earlier this week that he and Trump would work together if the Republican won the White House. "I'm not worried about this," he told a news conference. Zelensky declined to say whether he was worried about US President Joe Biden, who has been facing calls to drop his re-election campaign following a disastrous debate performance and questions over his health and mental acuity. It's difficult to read those paragraphs as anything besides a quiet Trump endorsement and another slam on Joe Biden's battered brainstem. Yesterday, media widely described the CrowdStrike error as a historic global outage and as the largest and most destructive computer bug in history. CrowdStrike is toast. Many articles reported that many businesses have still not recovered, raising the highly awkward question of whether CrowdStrike's antivirus cure is worse than the viral disease. This is very bad news for CrowdStrike. It's an open question how the company can survive. More importantly, CrowdStrike used to enjoy comprehensive anonymity and was able to operate behind the scenes on almost every Windows computer on the planet with nobody watching, but not anymore. And so it begins. Yesterday, as if on cue, Elon Musk announced his companies were ditching the global security service, widely reported in media like Bloomberg. And Elon Musk posted on his X platform, "We just deleted CrowdStrike from all our systems, so no rollouts at all." CrowdStrike software is everywhere, including embedded in many US voting systems. Arizona's Maricopa County, which is amidst early voting, reported polling place outages related to the CrowdStrike bungle, raising metric tons of questions about election security, internet connectedness, and so forth. Remember, we are still in the figuring out what happened phase. We have not even begun to discuss the what should we do next part, unless the company gets saved by some kind of unimaginable miracle. CrowdStrike appears to be on the chopping block. Let's recap the timeline. July 25th, 2019, Trump calls Zelensky to ask about CrowdStrike. December 18, 2019, first articles of impeachment filed. 2020 to 2024, the wilderness years. July 18, 2024, Trump accepts the Republican nomination, which means he can now legally talk to foreign leaders. July 19, 2024, CrowdStrike makes a mistake that could end the company. July 19th, 2024, Trump calls Zelensky again, Kiev boosts Trump. These are all established facts. Zelensky, Ukraine and CrowdStrike bookend the timeline. It seems like Trump is picking up right where he left off, with a nail in CrowdStrike's forehead framing the conversation. I'm not speculating about anything, but it's unlikely, to say the least, that this series of coincidences could possibly be unrelated. So, it might be a conspiracy, but if so, it could be the good kind. So, in the few minutes left, I'm just hopping over to X again, just to pick up on what's going on with CrowdStrike. And Ariel, who I follow, has a lot of interesting intel, obviously. As I always suggest to you, I'm discerning about what I buy into and what I discard. But the initial post was by Raw's Alerts. Breaking: cybersecurity experts say this is set to be the biggest IT outage in history, as CrowdStrike shares plunged 20% in pre-market trading in New York, but CrowdStrike CEO stated that the outage was not caused by a cyber attack. Now, there's a reply to this X post, and it's by Deep Blue Crypto, who reminds us that Klaus Schwab from WEF was warning of the next pandemic, a cyber attack so vast it disconnects the internet. Ariel says, "People, listen to me. If you do not think today is massive on a historical scale, let me inform you about CrowdStrike. The servers are located in Ukraine. Can you say election interference? This is a deep state cybersecurity company. People, this is a national security threat. Who helped set up the biolabs in Ukraine before they even became president? Barack Obama, who was found to be money laundering out of Ukraine. Joe Biden, who was found to be funneling money to Zelensky through the FTX and the trading firm Alameda Research Platform and donating to the Democrat Party. Sam Bankman-Fried." I'm going to jump to the key point he's making. "Do you now know that the bulk data collected on this outage is going to be given directly to Donald Trump? People, this reaches the highest level of government. People, ask yourself, why is this all coming out hours after D. Trump took his nomination at the RNC? Did he tell you on July 10th that the final battle takes place in 7 days, right? Now, can you understand the magnitude of what happened with the assassination attempt much clearer? Because the deep state knew that once D. Trump became the nominee, he would no longer wait to strike, as what he now is doing is officially public knowledge and can bring everything happening behind the scenes into the forefront for public disclosure." And just as a quick note, there are 19 Q posts that actually mention CrowdStrike. So that indicates how important it is in the scheme of things playing out now. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. Thank you to Nancy for producing and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. Just a reminder that you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. And if you're interested in finding out if you've got blocks to manifestation, hop over there and take my manifestation assessment, which will tell you exactly what is holding you back. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.